T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Black hole sun, won't you come? Here we go. This is their third divisional game of the year. 2-0 in division games. The first one beating the Chiefs, unexpectedly. Then last week beating the Chargers, literally in the last second when Anthony Lynn decided to throw two goal line fades and P.T. Barnum, whatever his last name was on the Chargers, ends up dropping the ball in the end zone and the Raiders win. Shout out to Isaiah Johnson. But it is Broncos week, and let me just say, first off, I can't stand the Broncos. I just can't. I don't know what it is about them. I don't know if it was Tim Tebow who was making that run. It's really, you know what? It is. I figured it out as I'm talking. It's the quarterbacks. Every single one of them. Kyle Orton, Jay Cutler, Tim Tebow, all of those guys. They're the ones who I remember the most. And they just irk me. Their entire team irks me. Except Von Miller. I love you, Von Miller. And Bradley Chubb, too. I respect your game. You're really good. And you know, Chris Harris and Aqib Talib, they were really good back then, too, when they were a Super Bowl team. But it was annoying. They're like that cockroach that the Raiders haven't been able to crush for my lifetime as a Raider fan. Lifetime, they are 64-53 since they first played on October 2nd, 1960. They are 9-15 at home since they moved back to Oakland in 1995. So let's see if they can keep that going in Las Vegas and see if they can start a new trend. But the most memorable win was in Mile High Stadium. It was week 7 in 2010, and they won the game 59-14. Are you kidding me? 59-14? The John Condo number to Matt McGloin? 59-14? They were up. I watched the replay. They were up 38-0 at half. McFadden had 196 all-purpose yards with 4 total touchdowns. Marcel Reese had a tutty. Michael Bush had a tutty. Let's go with the Bush push. Number 29, loved him. Chris Johnson had a pick 6. I don't even remember Chris Johnson. And it was just a thrashing. That was one of the most memorable games, and it also created one of the best pictures of all time, which is Darren McFadden laughing maniacally as they caught him in the middle of a freeze frame, and it looks insane. But that was the most memorable win against the Broncos in my lifetime. Hopefully they have another one this week. Last year, they were 1-1. They won 24-16 in Week 2 and lost 16-15 in Week 17. The difference? Josh Jacobs wasn't in the game in Week 17. In week 2, when he first played them, he carried the ball 23 times for 85 yards, had a couple of tugs in his second-ever football game. And I can guarantee that if he were in Week 17, they would have won last season, and they would have been 8-8 instead of 7-9. That annoying 7-9 number. Derek Carr, his lifetime numbers against Denver, they're not too bad. He's completed 65% of his passes with 12 touchdowns and 4 interceptions, but he has been sacked 20 times by them in his career in total. Tough for Derek Carr. Let's see if this see if that remains this week, and you're going to see on my silver and black factors that I put a certain guy on the offensive line, and it might not be one that you expect. That's coming up a little later on in the podcast. Thank you so much, though, for joining me, everyone, on this episode, the latest for Black Hole Sundays. It is Broncos week. And if you haven't tuned in, we do episodes every Monday through Friday. Haven't tuned in? I'm acting like this is my normal radio show on the pregame show from 5 to 6 every Monday through Friday on 95.7 The Game. But this is the Raider podcast. We got new episodes every Friday and Monday. And we don't have a guest for you today, but we got a lot to get to, starting with the injuries for this team. So let's get to the injury report.
Are you nervous? Huh? Really, are you?
For the Raiders, Mo Hurst and Colton Miller haven't practiced this week, both with injuries to their ankles, but Trayvon Mullen did return to practice. He was taken out in the first half against LA to make room for Isaiah Johnson, and we know what Isaiah Johnson did. He made the most of his opportunities. We should expect to see him in for Nevin Lawson in this game. That's what I'd expect, at least. We saw the story of an Iron Man. The man, the myth, and now a legend already, even though it's only his second year in the league, Alec Ingold, the fullback. He was hurt in that last week when Josh Jacobs scored the touchdown. Turns out that he has two broken ribs, but he has been at practice and he plans to play with two broken ribs. That's a football player, man. That is something that I can't even imagine doing. We have glass doors here at 95.7 The Game. I've walked into the glass door and just said, screw it, I'm taking the next segment off. I've once stubbed my toe and went into my room for 4 days. All right, that's not true. But having two broken ribs and playing in a football game, are you kidding me? In a with a position where you are just creating contact every single play? Oh, shout out to you, Alec Ingold. You are a trooper. Corey Littleton, linebacker, their most expensive linebacker. He was placed on the reserve COVID list, unfortunately. So hopefully anyone who he came in contact with, hopefully he's safe. Hopefully his friends and family are safe and everything. It's just unfortunate whenever that happens. But Corey Littleton, as well as Trent Brown, both placed on the reserve COVID list. So that's the main injuries for the Raiders. Mo Hurst and Colton Miller, they haven't practiced this week. Two crucial guys on this team. But Trayvon Mullen, he did return to practice. And Alec Ingold looking like he is going to play. Corey Littleton will not play. Let's move on to the Broncos. We know Von Miller, he's out until at least December, which just sucks because outside of the 2 weeks where they play the Raiders, Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, both incredibly fun players to watch in that 3-4 whenever they got a pass rush. But here's the one you should pay attention to. Damar Dotson is their third-string right tackle, and he's been their starter for a majority of the year. But he got hurt against Atlanta on Sunday, and he could be out this week. Now, it is Friday, and he's back at practice today, which could be a sign that he's playing, but that's not always the case. So you would think they'd be down to their fourth stringer. Wait. Hold on a second. Stop the car. If you're listening in your car, stop whatever you're doing. Their fourth stringer hasn't practiced either in Jake Rogers with a shoulder injury. So there's a possibility they could be down to their fifth string left tackle. And it's not fifth string right tackle. And it just so happens to be the backup left tackle, Calvin Anderson. So that's what we could be seeing. Garrett Bowles is their left tackle. He's actually really, really good. Or they drafted him in the top 10 straight out of Utah. He's really good. But on the right side, they could be hurt with their fifth stringer coming into the game should Damar Dotson not go, who's been their starter for a majority of the season. So that's your injury update as of right now. They could be using their right tackle they could be using their fifth-string right tackle, which I can't even wrap my head around. But another thing to note, Bryce Callahan and A.J. Boye, their starting cornerbacks, they've both been out for the last 2 weeks, but they are going to be making their return. And Bryce Callahan, the number two-ranked cornerback, according to Pro Football Focus. So that's what the injury report is looking like right now for the Broncos. You're looking at the right tackle and being without Von Miller. That's a big one. Let's move on to the hacky stats.
Man, you got to get a cheat sheet or something. That's terrible. That'll kill us.
If you haven't tuned into this podcast before and you haven't heard me on the pregame show from 5 to 6 every Monday through Friday, 5 to 6 a.m., 95.7 The Game. Let me get that plug in there one more time. But if you haven't heard me do hacky stats, what hacky stats are it's a double entendre, triple entendre even. So hacky stats are really just stats that you can look up, but you're listening to this podcast, you're not going to have to look any of these up. They're stats that you can kick around a little bit, make you sound smart at the water cooler over at work, make you sound smart when you're texting in the group chat about fantasy football with your friends. On offense, look, the Broncos just don't have a good offense right now. They're among the bottom of the league in every statistic. Their offensive line, besides Garrett Bowles, isn't very good. We talk about win rate all the time on this program. That's the ESPN analytic. And win rate, they're 28th in pass blocking and 29th in run blocking as a team, which shows that they are stats which can be flawed, but when you're in the bottom 4-5 teams in the league, that just shows that your offensive line isn't very good. They turned the ball over more than anybody in the league, 16 total on the year, and they are 29th in the league in average yards on first and 10, as well as converting on third down. So they're in the bottom third of every category. Drew Lock hasn't been good this year. Philip Lindsay has shown flashes as he normally does, but he has come back down to earth a little bit. Look, I will say that ever since he's made his way to being the starting running back with Denver, Philip Lindsay's always scared me. When he bounces to the outside and he gets a burst of speed, he can go. It's going to be up to Eric Harris and Jonathan Abram, who I think Jonathan Abram is due for at least three of those wow plays that make you say, wow, Post Malone, wow. That's what I think Jonathan Abram's due for in this one. If he catches Philip Lindsay, it'll be very interesting watching him play his first game against the Broncos. And we know Jonathan Abram's going to be hyped up for this one. But I do like Philip Lindsay as a running back. But that's what it is for the offense. They're really just in the bottom of every category statistically. Their defense, though, is not terrible. They've given up 27 points per game, but you wonder how many of those points are actually coming off of turnovers. They've given up only 6 rushing touchdowns in the league, which is the third fewest, and 14 passing touchdowns on the year, which is toward the middle of the league, toward the bottom, actually. So 14 passing touchdowns is not bad, but here is where they're at their best. They have the fourth fewest missed tackles in the league, which is an underrated stat, in my opinion, an underrated hacky stat, if you will. Kick that around over at your water cooler. A Vic Fangio-led team would be up there in those type of stats. I wouldn't expect anything different. You know what? What I'm reading here is exactly what I'd expect from a Vic Fangio-led team. One, not very good on offense, quite disciplined on offense. They don't get that many penalties, but a defense that doesn't miss many tackles. It just depends on the talent that they have. Again, I did mention, though, Bryce Callahan and A.J. Boye are making their return to the secondary, so they're going to have them at corner, and they have one of the best free/strong safety duos in the league with Kareem Jackson and Justin Simmons. So those are a couple of guys you have to watch out for on defense, and that's what's made them so good this year. But again, they're ranked within the bottom of every statistical category on offense, primarily on first and 10 and third down is where they do not excel and where the Raiders need to take advantage. And their defense, not terrible. They don't miss a lot of tackles, and they really don't give up a whole ton of yards rushing or passing. They're in the middle of the pack when it comes to the league statistically. So those are your hacky stats for the Denver Broncos. But let's talk about the Raiders here. Let's get to the silver and black factors. Let's go.
Every day you build. You put blocks down. You guys ever see a mansion, a big, beautiful mansion? You got to build the foundation, man. That's what we're doing here.
This is another segment that we like to do on Black Hole Sundays. I choose my silver and black factors. Normally, you have X factors in the game. Well, I like to go with silver and black factors because we're talking Raider football. This isn't just any other football team. We got the most iconic colorway in all of sports with silver and black. So we're going with the silver and black factors here. I choose 3 guys on defense and 3 guys on offense that I feel that you should watch out for in this game, and that we kind of recap the next week to see how actually right and give myself a little credibility. Need a little credibility with this podcast. You're not just listening to me for no reason. I sometimes actually know what I'm talking about. Keyword sometimes. Let's start with the defense, though. So again, choose 3 players on offense, 3 players on defense, and we'll start with the defense. My number 3 guy, Nicholas Morrow, linebacker. Now, this team doesn't – the Broncos don't run a lot of 21 personnel with two running backs and one tight end. They primarily run 11 personnel, which is one running back and one tight end, meaning they'll use three wide receivers or in any fashion. But with Corey Littleton out, Morrow needs to step up in this one, going up against a good tight end in Noah Fant and a team that likes to run crossing routes around the middle with Tim Patrick and Jerry Judy. And, look, Littleton – he's been disappointing in coverage. I hate to say that for a guy that's not going to be in this game because he's on the reserve COVID list, but Littleton has been getting destroyed whenever he has to drop back into coverage. So I'm going to be looking at Nicholas Morrow, who hasn't been great in coverage this year either. He's a good run stopper, very good run stopper. But when this team is running with a lot of three receiver sets, Nicholas Morrow is going to have to step up in coverage. Going to be looking for him as my number three silver and black factor on defense. Number two is going to be Trayvon Mullen. The reason for this being, I personally think he needs to shadow Jerry Judy, who is every bit as advertised, their first-round pick. He was meant to go before Henry Ruggs in the draft, but since the Raiders were picking before the Broncos, they decided that they wanted speed in Ruggs as opposed to the polished, kind of Amari Cooper-like receiver that Jerry Judy is. But I think Trayvon Mullen should shadow him, even though the Raiders do run a lot of zone defense and they don't really make their cornerback shadow too many guys. But I think Trayvon Mullen needs to step up against Jerry Judy as well as Tim Patrick too. They got a good wide receiver core. Cortland Sutton is on IR, but Tim Patrick's been good in his place. And the reason being, we need to make Henry Ruggs look like the better pick in this game. That's an underrated storyline going into this one. Is Henry Ruggs versus Jerry Judy? Who has the upper hand? These two are going to be playing against each other in the AFC West for at least 3-4 more years. This is going to be the one where he establishes himself as the better wide receiver. He needs to, even though Judy has looked like the better wide receiver so far this year. But I do think Trayvon Mullen is going to have a lot on his hands with Jerry Judy and will need to be huge for them in this one, which could end up being pretty close if he lets it happen. My number one silver and black factor, this might not be one a lot of people are paying attention to, but my number one is defensive tackle Malik Collins. Malik Collins was brought in for $6 million. He was a free agent, and he was said to be a key for this defense. He was said to be a D tackle that not only can he stuff the run, but he can get to the quarterback. He hasn't done that well this season as far as getting to the quarterback. He's shown flashes, but I need to see more in this one. And the reason why he's my number one guy is because the Broncos are starting third rounder Lloyd Cushenberry. He is the last ranked center according to Pro Football Focus. So Collins, you haven't had a sack this year. It is this time for you to step up when you're going up against a weak interior. And again, I mean, they could be facing the fifth stringer at right tackle. Who knows when it comes to that? So we'll see what happens on Sunday. But I think Malik Collins is going to be one that needs to step up in this game, get in Drew Lock's face, give him fits so that he can't go after Jerry Judy the way that Drew Lock wants to. Those are my three silver and black factors on defense. Number three, Nicholas Morrow, who's stepping up for Corey Littleton. Number two, Trayvon Mullen, who should shadow Jerry Judy, in my opinion. And on the other side, you're probably going to have Isaiah Johnson filling in for Nevin Lawson. And number one is defensive tackle Malik Collins. But let's get to the offense. My number three silver and black factor on offense. Now, I mentioned this one in the beginning of the podcast. I gave you a little hinty hint. That's so bad. I gave you a little hint to who I'd be choosing here, but I think this guy has to have a huge game for them, and that is Denzel Good at left guard. The Broncos run a 3-4, and when you got Bradley Chubb coming from the outside, they mix it up. They can run him inside, they can run him outside, they can do whatever. It gives them that flexibility. That's what a 3-4 defense does. And Chubb moves in and out. And I know we'll be paying attention to Brandon Parker, who's most likely going to be filling in for Colton Miller. But let's take a look at Sam Young, for example, who's a backup right tackle for Trent Brown. The reason, and it's not just these two guys, we got to give him credit as well, but I think a reason that he's been a very capable fill-in for Brown at right tackle is because he has that help on the right side with Gabe Jackson and Rodney Hudson. So I think Good needs to play that Gabe Jackson type of role. Communication is key, and setting those combo blocks that they like to do on the left side, along with Brandon Parker, stopping Bradley Chubb on that side, I think that's going to be very important. So Denzel Good for me is my number three silver and black factor. Denzel Good for me. Denzel, good for you, good for me, good for everybody. Number two on my list of silver and black factors for offense, Henry Ruggs. I think Ruggs is going to get the most volume in this game, more volume than he's seen. The reason being Bryce Callahan, second-ranked quarter, according to PFF, as mentioned, and A.J. Bouye are back. But I think Ruggs, they haven't played in a couple of weeks, I think Ruggs needs to stun them and beat them with his speed. Knock them off balance. We haven't had Henry Ruggs get a deep ball too much lately because, well, one, he got that touchdown taken away from the against the Cleveland Browns, and he wasn't open too much against the LA Chargers. But I think Ruggs needs to get more volume. Use him in short yardage situations if they're going to cover Darren Waller. Use him with jet sweeps, the jet motions. They've only used those once in the past 3 weeks, but it's gone for first downs every single time. I think they could use that a little more, but also show he's a better wide receiver between him and Jerry Jeudy. Let that be known whenever they play the Broncos, especially at home. This is your town, Henry. Step up, baby. And he will step up. I have faith in him to do that. So Ruggs is my number two silver and black factor in this one. My number one, Josh Jacobs, running back. I mentioned earlier, when Josh Jacobs was in the game, they handled the Broncos in week two last season. He is going to be the key, the straw that stirs the drink. But the main reason I'm choosing him to be my number one in this game is because Ingold is playing with two cracked ribs, and they're going up against a defense that doesn't miss many tackles. It'll be strength versus strength when they're running it, when they're trying to run it down their gullet. And Josh Jacobs, I think he needs to show that even though they don't miss many tackles, there's a reason why he's one of the best in yards after contact in the league. So Josh Jacobs, to me, needs to step up in this one and be that number one guy in order for the Raiders to get the win. So to recap the offense, number three, Denzel Good at left guard, primarily because I think he needs to help Brandon Parker at left tackle. And Denzel Good's been, well, he's lived up to his last name. He's been really good this year. Number two is Henry Ruggs. Show that you are the better wide receiver than Jerry Jeudy. Show him why you were picked first in the draft among wide receivers this year. Number one, Josh Jacobs. Your fullback is hurt. Your fullback is showing that he's an Iron Man. You need to show that you're that Iron Man too. And I believe that he can. That'll do it for my silver and black factors in this game. Let's get to some predictions.
Understand that. You got to build the blocks. You got to put blocks on every day. Stay together and understand that.
Now, if you are a betting man or woman, the over-under is at 50.5, and the Raiders are favored by 4 at home. They are 1-6 against the spread this year. Last week was a pick'em, so that one doesn't count. You may be wondering, well, there are 8 games. Why are they 1-6? That means that's 1 + 6 = 7. Well, yeah, they were a pick'em last week, so that doesn't count. There wasn't a spread for that game. I actually think that's going to be a push. The over-under is at 50.5. I think it's going to be over in this one. The Raiders, this isn't the best defense that they played. They're playing against a good defense here in Denver with a Vic Fangio-led team. I think so, but the Raiders have shown that they can bust good defenses. It just depends on the types of calls that John Gruden makes. If he's going to be aggressive on fourth down, which we've seen him do in some games and haven't seen him do in others. You know, punting on fourth down against the Chargers was not a very smart decision on his part. But the over-under is at 50.5. I think the over is going to hit because I think these two teams are going to be in a dead heat for this entire game, a deadlock battle, whatever term you want to use. It's going to be heated, but it's going to come down to the wire, and I think they're going to have to score points, a lot of points, and I don't see the defense getting too many stops. I see this being a shootout, more or less, and I do see the Broncos scoring points. I see this one being 31-27 to the Raiders. This is not the toughest offense that they'll face. The defense has held up. They played well against the Chiefs. They played okay against the Chargers. They didn't play that great, but I do think that they can get a more consistent pass rush that they've been getting going up against this Broncos offensive line. So I would take them 31-27. I do see the Broncos getting theirs, putting up points. Maybe Jerry Jeudy will get stopped by Trayvon Mullen, and maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised by this one. But the Broncos can put up points when they need to, and I do think that in the second half, the Raiders defense tends to get tired out a little bit. So 31-27, that is my final prediction. I think take the over, and I think the spread is going to be a push. I wouldn't even touch that spread. Being favored by 4, that's scary. That's a scary one. Frightening. It's past Halloween, but I'm still terrified. 31-27, I think, will be your final for this one. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode. Remember, you can find Black Hole Sundays wherever you get your podcast. Just search up The Pregame Show with Stephen Langford, and you'll find it there. What is The Pregame Show, you ask? It is my daily show on 95.7 The Game from 5 to 6 a.m. every Monday through Friday. So if you are up early, you will be hearing this beautiful, tired voice. I can't believe I just called my voice beautiful. Have a good weekend, everybody. And as always, stay safe.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.